This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we just had Anthony Kastrovitz on talking about the Guardians. He was maybe a little more optimistic than I've seen some of the odds makers. We also got the breaking news moments ago that, fear not, your Guardians will be on TV this year. We had the whole rundown. You'll be able to go where again? Owen, can they get that? I know we'll put it on the website.
It is. Like, the big ones, if you just go to cleguardians.com, and there's like a watch tab, but you'll see it. Like, every reporter in town has a link to that as well. But the, you know, UVerse, Cox, DirecTV, Fubo, Spectrum, those are all the big ones. They all have, they're all going to have it. Basically, everyone's going to have it. If you have one of the smaller providers, though, you go to cleguardians.com, click on watch, and they have an opportunity to put in your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly what channel it'll be on your provider.
All right, Jason Lloyd in for Ken Carmen today, coming up in just about 15 minutes. Some news from the state capitol on the stadium situation for the Browns. What does it mean for you, especially you gamblers? Stay tuned for that. 216-474-0092. It's opening day. We kicked off the show with opening day. And Jason, your level of excitement, because I know that in this town of all the media, we were talking about, you know, which sports are bigger when. Jason, you've always been baseball guy through and through. I hear all your conversations off the air. It's a lot of baseball stuff. So your level of excitement, given that so many Guardians fans are like, after that offseason, after the amazing playoffs that we had last year where we were dialed in, they're a little disappointed. Do you get excited again, though, on opening day?
Yeah, of course.
The spring eternal for you.
Yeah, I mean, the division's wide open. And, you know, I think Anthony's right. They could finish first, they could finish fourth, they could finish anywhere in between, but they got a chance to win this thing. And once you get to the playoffs in baseball, you know, you give yourself a chance. It's not like in the NFL, you know, when you get there as the one of the last seeds, you're probably going out in the first round. You're not beating Kansas City. That's not the case in baseball. Like, how many times have the wild card teams won it all? And so I think with this bullpen, it is going to keep them in games. And, you know, when the Guardians spend money, they have to spend it on Paul Sewald, because $7 million isn't going to buy you. I mean, Alex Cobb got $15 million this offseason. Alex Cobb pitched three games last year, got $15 million from the Tigers. You can't buy starting pitching or really an impact hitter for that type of money, but you can buy an impact high leverage arm for the bullpen for that. And so they're just going to keep loading up on bullpen arms, and you're not necessarily going to manage the game like you do in the postseason where two times through the order and you pull the starter. But the more top-end relievers that you have, the more you can shorten the games to 5-6 innings and then start unleashing some of these guys. But yeah, I do think you want to guard against wearing these guys out.
Did they overwork them last year?
Probably a little bit. I think it was more in the postseason, the overwork of the postseason than the regular season. They were gassed by the end. But you know, you were managing to win, and which is what you have to do, obviously, in October. And so, yeah, you had a short leash on some of the starters, on most of the starters, and you tried to get to your bullpen as fast as possible because that was the strength of the team. And if they make it there again, they'll probably do the same thing and hope that, you know, a Paul Sewald can add to what they already have and with those just huge arms at the back end of the bullpen and give them one more option. But I absolutely think the Guardians can win this division. I really like the Royals. I think the Royals are really good. I don't like the Twins as much. I don't think Detroit's going to hit enough. Detroit's rotation could actually be the best in the division by the end of the year.
They're good.
But I don't know that they're going to score enough runs. I like the Guardians.
So why is it that it seems like they're just not getting that respect? They just don't seem, everywhere I look, the Guardians are not the team that people have winning this division, despite their pedigree, despite the fact that Vogt's already proven that he could do it. So it's not like one of those, well, we have this mysterious new manager who doesn't have experience. Yeah. He just did it. I mean, he just did it a year ago.
Well, they already struggled to score runs, and they traded a middle-of-the-order bat in Naylor. And, like, again, like, the Guardians have to think very business-like and strategically in how they do this. So they draft Pisana, so they move off the Jimenez contract because you can't pay, at least Cleveland can't. Cleveland, under this ownership, can't pay a second baseman $22 million to put up the offense that Jimmy was putting up. So, okay, you understand that. They were not going to re-sign Naylor, so you can trade Naylor, get something for him, and sign a replacement-level player of similarity in Carlos Santana and get the similar type of production, a little bit better defense out of than you would have gotten out of Naylor. A little bit less offense, though. And there's huge risk in that because of how old he is, and he could go off the cliff at any time. So the Nolan thing really, I think, sort of bailed out the offseason entirely because I could see why fans were disgruntled with the lack of anything, really, other than the Bibee extension. But to swoop in and get the Nolan thing done, that could be a huge move for them.
I got pumped about it. I gotta be honest. I know it's kind of silly because, you know, there's been a mixed bag with Nolan Jones. I love the cannon. I love his arm. You know, I think that's a fun thing too. I think he can be a really fun player for this team and for fans to rally around, especially considering that there were fans that liked him, you know, earlier. And now we have a chance to someone who's a little more experienced. Granted, the injuries are something that, you know, messed with his career. So I think it can be a lot of fun. I mean, Naylor was a fan favorite. There's no doubt. I mean, Ken called him the most interesting man in baseball and said he was his favorite player, and he's gone. So I do get how some fans are annoyed, but I think once they get started, and if they can jump out to a good start too, right? I mean, Tito's teams, you know, failed to do that so often, but you had trust in Tito
because they were playing their best
40-20 last year, though, and it made it helped you overlook that you had a rookie manager
who was the
same age as your other catcher. I do think there's a lot of it. Jason, you're a local guy that grew up. They were your number one team, right?
Like, yeah.
As a kid?
Oh, as a kid, I lived and mostly died with the Indians in the 80s and the early 90s.
But it's one of those things where it's like March and April. Are you really, I should say March, are you really into the team at all? When they're out in Arizona or when they were in Florida, how much were you really paying attention to them?
Oh, as a kid, I was.
Yeah, I just.
But not.
Now it's like, okay, it's here. It's kind of a reintroduction to the team. The good thing is there's not a ton of changeover in the roster. There's not new people to learn. Right. That's the blessing in disguise, I guess. But
I mean, the reality here is right now it's NFL draft season and the Cavs are about to embark on what should be a long playoff run. So no one's going to pay attention unless you're a true baseball nut. You're not going to pay attention to the Guardians until June.
Well, and unless they're really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If they're just a average team that is floating around, you know, the top of the division, they'll be okay to make it to June, and then you really have to turn it on there. But
I mean, maybe if the Cavs get bounced early, you know, maybe attention turns to them a little bit earlier. But, you know, I'm expecting the Cavs to play at least to the end of May. So and so the Guardians aren't going to get a lot of oxygen probably, unfortunately, until then. But because I, you know,
I think they're used to that, though. I don't think that's necessarily a killer for them. They play in front of a lot of empty crowds in April, May, and
doesn't mean they like it.
Yeah, no,
they might be used to it. Doesn't mean they like it.
If anything, I think they use it as a motivator. I mean, I really think they're kind of used to that reality. And you're right, 40-20 last year, and the attendance did get the uptick. You know, it certainly did.
Yeah.
I just had one other question because we were talking about the cable deal and Anthony Castrovinc was going into that, the finances of baseball. How is this league going to deal with so many teams, Guardians being chief among them, that are just going to lose $30 to $40 million a year in revenue because of the local TV deals?
That's a much more complicated conversation, and I think a lot of teams in baseball hide behind the TV money when baseball, through collective bargaining, through the CBT tax, not collective bargaining, through the tax that the higher teams pay, that the Dodgers and them pay, they get a lot of money from the league that covers quite a bit of their payroll. So I absolutely think a lot of the teams at the bottom could be spending more than what they do, and I think that they use the TV contract as a shield at times. Yeah, I mean, it will be an impact, sure. But again, I think they'll figure this out in the long run. But baseball, I wrote about it a year or so ago. There's multiple revenue streams from Major League Baseball to the small market teams, to the Pirates, to the Guardians. And baseball is very secretive with those numbers. And it's basically the commissioner decides who gets how much. But I've talked to enough people that have seen the books and understand this stuff to know that they get a lot of money. Cleveland gets a lot of money from the league office.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's crazy to think about. Like Jeff Passan the other day was talking about a floor that, you know, he's accusing all these owners of not doing what they should be doing with their payroll. And because it's such a crapshoot come playoff time and they've expanded the playoffs, like these owners are like, why would I dump $50 more million in payroll when once we get into the playoffs, it's a crapshoot either way. I mean, the Guardians have made the playoffs a number of years. They've got a savvy, you know, really, really good front office. So why bother? Why spend $50 million more? Part of the thing is, though, they lose a lot of interest with fans in the offseason. I mean, baseball is an afterthought in 27 of the markets. They just don't get talked about. And that's really not going to change. I want to pick your brain on that a little more. 216-474-0092.